Good morning. Welcome to the Transportation Committee. I am Councilmember Yolanda Adrian, the Chair of Transportation. We have a quorum present, and to my right, I have Councilmember C.T. Martin, to my left, Ms. Smith and Ms. Moore. And we're joined by our analysts, Mr. David and Ms. Santana. So we are ready to begin. The first item is adoption of the agenda, and without objection, we'll adopt the agenda. Second item is approval of the minutes, and without objection, we will approve the minutes. The next item is item E, public comment. Do we have anyone signed up? All right, this part of the public comment is 3 minutes for each person, and it's for items that are on the agenda. And so our first speaker is Ms. Bianca Garcia. Is this an item on the agenda? So you want to wait until after we're done? We won't be long. Okay, thank you. The next speaker is Mr. Robert Davis. Okay, you're going to wait. All right. And Mr. Tim A.F. or A.V. Mr. Tim, how do you spell your last name? Yeah, you did not go to Catholic school. Okay, are you you're going to speak on the agenda? All right, just a minute. Okay. It's on now.
Check. Good morning, council members. Tim Allborg, Lyft. I'm the Southeast Public Policy Manager. Just wanted to say thank you for continuing to work on this issue. We hope to be permitted and operational at the airport very soon, so we look forward to continuing to work with you. Also wanted to just let you know that we are very committed. We will always be committed to public safety. And we've run some numbers here in Atlanta, and I thought you guys might find this interesting. Out of the tens of thousands of drivers who've applied to be on the platform with Lyft, 4 out of 5 don't make it through our background check process, vehicle inspections, and other safety criteria that we put in place. So only 1 in 5 actually make it onto the platform. So I thought you'd find that information interesting. Also wanted to share some data out of California. The state regulators in California have put together a report covering the years of 2014, 2015. And based on the data that they've compiled, they found that for every 12,000 rides that are given, that are safely given by TNCs, there is one incident. So to put it in another format, 99.99175% of TNC rides in California are delivered without incident. So I thought that information might be useful for you. Again, we're very committed to public safety. We want to continue working with you guys. So thank you very much for your time. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you very much, Tim. Our next speaker is Nick Giuliana.
Good morning, council members. Nick Giuliano here with Uber. I'll keep my remarks very, very brief. Wanted to appreciate the legislation continuing to be held. Look forward to working with all of y'all and the administration on the next version of it. If you have any questions, I'm here today, and I think everybody has our contact information. Happy to discuss anything at any time. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yes, Ms. Moore.
Yes, council member.
I have a question. Something was brought to my attention. I find a bit troubling, so I want to get some clarification from you. I'm understanding that, yes, Uber. The Uber is charging a surcharge to people who are picked up at the airport. So I'm trying to understand, first of all, you're not supposed to be picking up at the airport until we finish our policy discussion, number one, but number two, why your company would charge people a couple dollars extra to pick them up somewhere where they're not supposed to pick them up in the first place.
Sure, council member. First off, I would love to connect with you afterwards and see that. To my knowledge, there has been no surcharge added to airport pickups here. So if there has been, I'd be happy to have a look at that and see. And then with regards to the current pickups at the airport, we're very happy to work with the city on an ultimate ordinance that will codify how rideshare is governed at the Atlanta airport. under the statute, we have been operating, you know, in this area right now, and we're happy to come and actually codify that process with you. But I'd love to connect.
Well, I understand that, but just even understanding that you're not supposed to be picking up at the airport, it seems that you all are still encouraging it in a way that you're not prohibiting or telling drivers that that's not a legal thing to do. And then on top of that, yes, I will get you some information about, you know, the additional charge, but do you all understand that you're not supposed to be picking up at the airport at all?
I believe there's
until we get this legislation done.
We can connect more on that afterwards. I believe there's a disagreement between what the statute is being interpreted by.
So you're
parties.
Interpreting that you can legally pick up at the airport?
I am not saying that right now. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I don't know what else to say, but I just find that troubling. I mean, and I'm not sure if it's the same with Lyft. I haven't got anybody who's used Lyft to say that they've been that was done. But I think if we're going to operate in good faith, either we're going to work on some legislation that makes it permissive, and we're making sure that we deal with all the things that we want to do in terms of making sure that the playing field is as level as it can be, or they're going to just continue to operate in an illegal fashion, and I just have to call it out because it's just not right. And on top of that, charging somebody a little extra to come do something that you're not supposed to do, that was just brought to my attention a couple days ago. So as soon as you said Uber, I couldn't help myself but to bring it up.
No, absolutely, Councilmember, and always happy to discuss. I'll have a look and see on any type of surcharges that are being added. That is not true to my knowledge, and I'll look into it immediately with you.
And surcharge is one thing, but whether you determine, I don't think the person made it up, because I told them to challenge the charge and let me know what happened. So I'm waiting on that response. But charge or not, at this point, you're not supposed to be picking up at the airport. Uh-oh. I must have hit something.
Well, after this meeting, I'd love to get together and have a look at whatever was sent to you so that we can have a look at that and see what the deal is.
Mr. Martin.
Is there anyone here from public safety, i.e. vehicle for hire? Then I'd like to ask Mr. Counsel if you'll come to the mic. Mr. Roosevelt, Counsel, will you please come to the mic? Is he here?
Yes, he's right here.
The matter that Ms. Morris talked about, there was an article in the New York Times about the surcharge stuff. But I think what's important is, are you aware of any pickups at the, by either of these companies?
Yeah, we've been made aware, you know, that these exercises are actually taking place.
So how are they allowed to do that?
Well, we're actually trying to patrol it as much as we can, you know, and there's been a couple instances where we've been able to do that, you know, and our vehicle for hire people have actually cited them, but it hasn't curtailed it at all.
I had a discussion with Chief Turner about how we can enforce our law.
Well, part of it is through that vehicle for hire patrolling that we actually do, but I can have that conversation with them to see how we can possibly increase that. Because one of the challenges is being able to recognize the vehicles, because oftentimes, you know, you can't really determine which ones they are when they come up, because oftentimes you may not see anything that is a discernible description that they are an Uber.
The problem
vehicle.
With it's unfair to the cab driver, no matter what side anybody is on. That's number one. Number two, it's a state of arrogance that it appears that they just determined to do what they want to do when they want to do it at the Atlanta airport. last I heard, we operate that roundabout. And anybody that's on the premises that's violating the law should be enforced. In light of all other kinds of things that are happening at airports right now, it makes it even more important that we be in control of who's coming in, going out.
Agreed. I completely agree with that.
Agreeing is one thing. Now that you've heard it, it's been brought to your attention, what are you going to do to make sure that it stops?
So we will actually have a conversation with Chief Turner, all right, to see if we can actually get more of a presence, okay, to try to contain it, I think. But again, part of the challenge is being able to, like I said earlier, recognizing these vehicles. Not everybody that picks somebody up is a Uber, and when they don't actually have any discernible, and they don't pick up in the same locations, so part of it is being able to effectively tracking that. And literally we have our vehicles on hire alerted to that, and there have been times when we've been able to catch them, and we would actually cite them. But it could actually be done better. I mean, as we kind of move forward, part of our strategy has always been to try to identify them. That's also why we're trying to get this legislation done.
Big thing. We just need to get the legislation done.
Question on what he said. Could you give us a report on how many you've cited?
Sure.
And when?
Yeah,
and
I can,
how
I
much
can.
They were charged?
Okay. Yeah, I can actually get that information.
I hope that you would also send an official correspondence to both of the companies, putting them on notice.
Okay.
Their controls apparently being violated. God forbid if there be an incident at the airport just because some people are trying to get an advantage or being arrogant, really.
We'll get that out. We'll get that prepared, and we'll get that out to the ride share companies.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We're going to move on. Mr. Shakir, you're
thank
the next
you, Ron
speaker.
Thank you, Ron Shakir, Southwest Atlanta. On agenda, which I stated, maybe you didn't read my writing too well, but I also want to speak on the matters that just was discussed. However, on 16, page 1, 3835, I guess that's 3 on the resolutions. It seems like some work in public, some work in, that's going to be going on, and it's going to be allocated, seems like to me, the Midtown Alliance. I just don't know why it wouldn't run under the Mendoza or the Public Works or within the City of Atlanta and not with Midtown Alliance. But I also rise to speak on the fact of data and enforcement of transportation, which Lyft and Uber just spoke on. And I've been involved in that, Mrs. Been a very strong voice in having the highest level of security. What just, to Mr. Martin said, has happened in Turkey, and what you have alluded to somewhat, and what was said on the radio by Mr. Hall, clearly caused confusion when we're saying that we're going to have a even playing field, but disregard the highest quality of security. The question is, and was in which you have really kind of reshaped it by saying, well, and Mr. Hall did it too yesterday on radio, where he stated that there's no cars for hire now that's operating under fingerprint. When he know, and you know, and most any citizen who's been aware of it, anybody in the industry know, that is because just recently, within the last year and a half, the City of Atlanta gave up its oversight of the cars for hire industry, which it had conducted maybe 40, 50 years or somewhere, and turned it over to the state or allowed the state to come in.
Excuse me, they took it.
Okay, they took it with little or no resistance. But for sure, it's your authority to maintain the highest level of security. And the idea of what the data may say, what those who was accepted to work on the platform, what if they operated on the highest level of security, which there's companies right now today who still in the taxi industry require all their citizens, and Checker Cab is one of them, to take the full fingerprint background check. And let me just remind you that I was a citizen who operated in an industry that had no criminal data of violence or disruption on their business, and we was required to have a fingerprint check every 3 months. Now, how ludicrous is that? So we know that Uber have just banked up over $12 billion recently without even using it for the running of their operation yet. They're just holding on to it. We can't allow big money interests to dictate the requirements, the operation regulations that they're going to operate under just because they have big bucks, the security, and we do not want the taxi industry to operate that same way too. Do you know what that looked like? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shakir. We are going to return to our agenda, and the first item on the agenda is an update on the streetcar. And Mr. Mendoza, will you be the one presenting that? Okay. Yes, we're ready. I think you have some good news for us, right?
You think correctly. Richard Mendoza, Commissioner, Department of Public Works. Thank you, council members. I'm going to give a brief update on the status of the Atlanta Streetcar Corrective Action Plans update, and I do have some positive news to share this morning. As you recall, from our last report on June 14th, we had submitted 41 of the total 66 state audit correction action plan and FTA findings of responses. Since that time, we have submitted the remaining 25 CAP items and FTA findings. The total number of documents and pages that were submitted were 2,700 total pages. We submitted the remaining items this past Monday on June 27th, a day in advance of the impending deadline. The work was conducted over the last 2 weeks through a joint intense effort by Department of Public Works and city employees, as well as collaboration from MARTA employees. Two of them were on site for a number of days reviewing our items for quality and comprehensive content, and also the Downtown Improvement District. And then as of yesterday, we did receive a written response from the Commissioner of Transportation for GDOT that they were in receipt of the remaining outstanding CAP items and that they have substantially reviewed the initial submittal earlier in the month, and to this point in their review, they are satisfied to the degree of the quality of content and the progress that we have made, that they have released us from any impending cease of operations, and that they will take until July 15th to review the remainder of the additional 25 that the city submitted this past Monday. So while that work does demonstrate quite a bit of progress in ensuring that we continue in the safe, reliable operations of the Atlanta Streetcar, we do recognize that we have continual work, and we're going to continue down this road to ensure that we operate to full compliance to our regulatory requirements, and that we're reporting on a continual basis on that safe and reliable operations of the streetcar. So that, in a nutshell, is the update for this morning, and I'm available to take any questions.
Okay, and before we take questions, I want to welcome Councilmember Joyce Shepherd to my left, and Mr. Vice Chair Kwanza Hall, who's also joining us to my right. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Mendoza regarding the latest communications? And I believe, were these sent via email, council members? Did you see this letter already? Okay.
Chief Operating Officer did forward a copy of the correspondence we received yesterday from the Georgia Department of Transportation, which was a positive letter.
Okay. Well, congratulations. Thank you for your hard work.
Thank you
really
for your support,
Council.
I
know that that you all worked weekends and so on and nights, and we do appreciate that. All right. With that, well, Mr. Hall, did you want?
I'm sorry. I missed the just the timing on the RFP.
Yes, so the RFP was advertised for the operations and maintenance. I didn't include that in this report, Council Member. I only reported on the status of the CAP item responses. But yes, that has been advertised. We did conduct an industry day with prospective bidders prior to that advertisement, and we did follow that up with a pre-proposal conference last week. It was well attended. We had a number of firms, I think possibly four or five, that were interested as primes, and about 8 to 12 interested as subprimes. So we've been receiving questions on that RFP. We're formulating those responses, and we're moving forward in a timely fashion to ensure we get a good quality operator.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mendoza. We have one announcement before we jump into the agenda, and that is we will have a work session on the TSPLOST list Thursday, July 14th at 1 o'clock in this room. This will be an opportunity for council members to work on the recommended list. The public's welcome to attend, but we do not take public questions or comments during our work sessions. All right, with that, we'll jump into our agenda. The first item for a second reading, item G, 16-0-1365, an ordinance by Councilmember C.T. Martin authorizing the mayor to sell 3.4980 acres of land to the city of College Park, Georgia, such land being located at the southeast corner intersection of Godbee Road and Cater Pond Road, College Park, Georgia, in land lot 6, of the 13th Land District, Clayton County, subject to approval by the Federal Administration, Aviation Administration, and for other purposes. And Ms. Santana, shouldn't we have the, don't we normally put the price in the caption? No, we don't? Okay. All right.
Well, we have that.
All right. We have a motion to approve. And one of the items that we asked for during the briefing was a appraisal. And in your package, colleagues, is an appraisal that reports the fair market value at $270,000, which is the amount listed in the legislation. Does anyone have any questions or comments for Mr. Council?
Just yes. Thank you. If you could just state the purpose of the transfer of sale.
I can. Basically, College Park operates a recreation center, the Tracy Wyatt, which is right adjacent to the parcel of land that they're actually seeking to buy. And what they're doing is that they want to purchase that to expand that, to add a few more parking spaces, as well as the extension of the facility itself. That's the purpose.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Without any further questions, we have a motion on the floor. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? This item is passed. The next item on our agenda, 16-0-1374, there is an amendment in your package. I will read in the caption. An ordinance by Councilmember Kalita Winslow authorizing the mayor or his designee to permit vehicular parking on Westview Drive Southwest between Holderness Street and Dargan Place between the hours of 7 a.m. and 3 p.m. on Sundays and on Saturdays for special events and other purposes. And the amendment is to Section 1, and that amendment adds the southwestern edge of in both Caption 1 and in the ordained clause. Does anyone have any questions on the amendment? Can I have a motion to we have a motion to approve the amendment. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We now have the amended paper before us. Does anyone have any questions of Mr. Mendoza? We have a motion to approve as amended. Hearing no questions, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mendoza. The next item is under H, Resolution 16-R-3835, a resolution by Councilmember C.T. Martin authorizing the mayor or his designee to execute a project management agreement with Midtown Business Association, Inc., Midtown Alliance for Design, Right-of-Way, and Construction Services for the following Federal Transit Administration projects: Juniper Street, Bicycle Pedestrian Facilities, Midtown Atlanta Regional Activity Center Pedestrian Mobility and Safety Improvements, Route 19 Spring Street Pedestrian Mobility and Safety Improvement Projects as outlined in the Transportation Improvement Program, authorizing and appointing Midtown Alliance to act as the City of Atlanta's implementation and construction manager for the listed FTA projects and for other purposes. And we have a motion to approve. And Mr. Mendoza, you heard questions from Mr. Shakir, so can you just explain the how this agreement works with Midtown Alliance?
Yes, on this particular this is a project management agreement. Essentially, the city is the grantee from FTA for the implementation of these federal funded projects. These projects originated from various master plans throughout the city, which went through a community engagement process. When the city became an FTA grantee, we were able to flex previous federal dollars from the Federal Highway Administration over to the Federal Transit Administration. What that did for the projects is it streamlined the process and lowered the required match for the city from 50% to 20% down to 10%. These three projects are in the master plans in the Midtown Alliance area. And we've entered into these agreements before. They're going to serve as our implementation and construction manager. Although the city will remain the FTA grantee, they will do the right-of-way design and manage the construction of these projects, in addition to supplying from their funding the 10% requisite match so that we can complete these projects.
So, in other words, this project between the Midtown Alliance and the federal government are 100% funded without city money?
The only city cost is to administer and oversee the project, and we do that with our in-house staff.
Okay.
It's all federal funds, and it's all Midtown Alliance local match money.
All right. Thank you
for
that.
For design and construction.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Mendoza on this?
Move to approve.
We have a motion to approve. And before we approve it, we do need to, in your package, we need to amend the legislation by adding the project management agreement with the exhibits. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion to amend. Any questions or comments on that? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any objections? Okay, now we have the amended paper before us. So a motion to approve as amended.
So moved.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, this item's been passed as amended. Thank you.
I did have one
yes,
more
Mr.
question
Hall.
While Mr. Mendoza
sure.
is here. Just on the Breeze card, have we begun that dialogue with MARTA to have integration with the streetcar? How's that coming? Will that be a part of the subsequent work of the operator?
It will. In fact, the Breeze machine itself, I believe, and this is public record, the city is going to still maintain the Breeze machines so that we can assure that interface occurs without another party involvement.
So we'll be able to use the Breeze card on
yes.
the streetcar just like on MARTA. So,
correct.
Perfect. Thank you. Solving all the problems. Thank you.
We're working on
Thank
it.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Pardon me. I was just getting something in order here. The next item is a resolution 16-R-3843, a resolution by Transportation Committee authorizing the mayor to execute an agreement with Atlanta Airlines Terminal Corporation for North De-icing Facility operational enhancements at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport for a cost to the city not to exceed $228,731. All contracted work will be charged to and paid from account numbers listed. Mr. Council.
Thank you. As stated, Madam Chair, this legislation is to execute an agreement with AATC for some construction or to construct some operational enhancements to the north de-icing facility that is in place.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Council? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? This item is passed. The next item, item number 516-R-3844, a resolution by the Transportation Committee establishing a joint task order fund in the amount of $13,700,000 for use under four architectural and engineering design service contracts and authorizing the aviation general manager or his designee to issue task orders under contract numbers FC-5801A, Hartsfield-Jackson Partnership, a joint venture comprised of Helmuth, Obata, and Casbaum, Inc., Stanley, Love, Stanley, and Chasm Architecture, LLC, FC-5801-B, Hartsfield-Jackson Design Collaborative, H-JDC, a joint venture comprised of HKS, Inc., Fitzgerald Collaborative Group, and Corgan Associates, Inc., FC-5801C, Aviation Infrastructure Solutions, a joint venture comprised of Pond and Company, Michael Baker Jr., Inc., and Corporate Environmental Risk Management, LLC, and FC-6684, Absolute, a joint venture comprised of Aikens North America, Inc., Brindley Peters and Associates, Inc., and Southwestern Engineering, Inc., to provide professional architectural and engineering design services for the Department of Aviation on a task order basis. All services will be charged to and paid from account numbers listed herein and for other purposes. We have a motion to approve, Mr. Council, and these are for our capital plan?
Yes, it is.
Okay, does anyone have any questions on any of these? All right, we have a motion on the floor. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, colleagues, we have one more item of business before we get back to public comment, and that's on held. It's item number 14-16-0-1350. I'll read in the caption, an ordinance by Councilmember Cleta Winslow authorizing the mayor or his designee to permit vehicular parking on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard between People Street and Joseph E. Lowry Boulevard between the hours of 7 to 4 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays and for other purposes. And the amendment you have in your package is to add southwestern side of the street and to change the time from 4 o'clock to 2 o'clock. May I have a motion to approve the amendment? All right, we have a motion to approve the amendment. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? And the actually the author would like us to hold the paper as amended. So may I have a motion?
Hold.
All right, we have a motion to hold as amended. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, and this brings us to our final part of the agenda, which is general comments from the public. And our first speaker is Ms. Bianca Garcia.
Good morning, council members. My name is Bianca Garcia. I work with the airport group of Unite Here. Unite Here represents roughly 41,000 airport workers and 62 airports across the U.S. and Canada. I'm here today to bring to your attention an active request for proposal for food and beverage concessions on Concourse at Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. As of today, the bids are due on July 13th. We are currently talking to a number of the national companies that attended the pre-proposal conference for this RFP back in April of this year. We will be updating the Transportation Committee regarding those conversations and sharing our beliefs regarding which companies we think will bring good jobs to the airport. We hope to be able to endorse every single company that shows interest in this RFP. We look forward to engaging the council as this decision-making process continues. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Garcia. Our next speaker is Robert Davis.
Good morning, council members.
Good morning.
My name is Robert Davis, and I work at Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. I've been a server there at the airport, a Cafe Intermezzo on Concourse B for 4 years, and I am also a member of Unite Here Local 23, Atlanta's hospitality union. I'm very proud to be a part of the movement to raise standards for airport workers in the city of Atlanta, Atlanta Airport is the busiest airport in the world, and we as airport workers contribute to that year after year success. We are the servers, the cooks, the utility workers, the dishwashers, the warehouse staff, who together who make sure travelers are able to have a great meal before they catch a long flight. I want every single concessions worker at the world's number one airport to have a great job like I do. We ask that you, as our elected officials, help make Atlanta's airport a great place to work for our concessions and our workers. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Mr. Shakir, did you sign up twice? Okay.
All right, Shakir, Southwest Atlanta. You know, the way you phrase things can be very confusing. And just like it seems like to be the policy of government now more and more to make it more difficult or unpleasing for citizens to be able to make a public comment or be able to address. And we saw yesterday, it was kind of embarrassing, one of the highest per capita incomes in the African-American community came down to the city, and it was very hard for them to process the process of engaging and talking to you all, and that was unfortunate, you know. But Ms. Adrian, before you got here, we were able to engage on gender items as they went by. But now, through the work of this administration, we're seeing like the employees that they're hiring is trying to shrink and hide and displace and take citizens out of the engagement of addressing issues that impact and that they pay taxes and that help create the good for their city. And Ms. Melanex, the young lady in the stabilization, community stabilization, and her transportation initiative that went around the city, she was very one-handed in it. It wasn't even open up for citizens to engage it. We had four, maybe five department heads or financial backers that we could not engage properly because she didn't know how to do it. But I do believe that the most of the administration or the new hirees or the people who's coming on the board in this city, they only have one common cause, and that's to break this city up, privatize it, and to displace what the love city has been moving towards. And I would hope that you'd be more sensitive to public engagement and realize what it looked like when you got here and see, can we bring some of those back? It was a very small agenda. It was very possible for us to engage in what MARTA decision was for Mr. Hall. Mr. Hall comes in and able to engage. I would hope to be, because I forgot to do that. I forgot the fact that I would like this council, this committee, to be, to present, since we're talking about expanding the streetcar, that we have some kind of data to support the financing of it, national, regional, from elected officials or some sound sense why we should do that. And the idea also that
Mr. Shakir,
and that's it. Well, like you do very well, you cut off public engagement. But come on, let's say this one last thing, please. Just give me 10 seconds, Ms. Adrian. You asked a question today on agenda. The purview of this agenda or this committee should be open for comments. But because of the way you phrase it, these young people here who came to engage and they have been doing it consistently got the idea that if they didn't see this in writing on the agenda, they might as well sit down, and they did it in order. But when Lyft came up and when Uber came up with their name and they are not on the agenda, they discussed it.
Those papers are on the agenda.
We understand that.
And they're on hold.
But I'm saying it's confusing. It's confusing. Now, and then you called me up out of your seat, and you asked me what I was going to comment on.
I could not read your writing, and your time has expired.
Well,
I think
the writing is not that hard to understand, but it's your policies or your switching, taking people away from being engaged to government is what it's that question here.
All right, thank you. We have a motion to adjourn without objection. We're in adjournment. Thank you very much.
Also affect pedestrians from walking safely in crosswalks.
You don't want to be that person, so please don't block the box.
If you do, you may be subject to